I'm Andrea Hope, and this is To Mother. Episode 5, Trying to Conceive. Hi, I'm Andrea Hope, a Baha'i mom and poet, and this is my podcast where I share reflections on parenting with purpose in the modern world. So I share some quotes from the Baha'i writings that inspire me, some practical tips and resources, and sometimes my poetry. Today we're moving forward with the stages of mothering, and today we'll talk about trying to conceive. I just want to clarify that I'm not going to talk about infertility in this episode. I think that deserves its own full episode. So this is a situation most likely where you're between the ages of 20 and 35, and you and your partner have decided that it's time to try and have a baby. As I mentioned in a previous episode, the Baha'i faith really encourages marriage and family life as the foundation for society. So now we will focus on this primary purpose of marriage, which is to have children. Baha'u'llah says, "Enter into wedlock, O people, that ye may bring forth one who will make mention of me amid my servants. This is my bidding unto you. Hold fast to it as an assistance to yourselves." And again, "Enter into wedlock, O people, that ye may bring forth one who will make mention of me amid my servants. This is my bidding unto you. Hold fast to it as an assistance to yourselves." So we can think a lot about the significance of this. It's not only encouraging us to have children, but to have children who will make mention of God, who will love and worship God. And this is quite interesting for me because we really like our children to make their own decision about their faith, and spirituality is such a personal choice. And the Baha'i faith confirms that, you know, it's for each soul to account for itself, but you also have to decide how you want to bring up your children and what values you want to teach them. So similar to how you teach them just by what you decide to eat, how you decide to use your time, how you communicate with each other, children are going to learn about their relationship with God primarily from their parents. So that's an area where I'd like to be a good example. But going back to trying to conceive, I was one of those people who, I love kids. I've always wanted to have kids of my own, to experience it, but also to adopt. Like, I just really wanted to have a family with children, and I had it in my mind that it was going to go a certain way, yeah. I don't know why, but yeah, I had this in my mind. Actually, I do know why. So I thought my husband and I are quite healthy, and we hadn't been trying before, so I thought, okay, the reason that we're not having children is just because we haven't tried to have children yet. So I thought, very planned out, we're going to try in September, I'm going to get pregnant. The baby's going to be born in the summer, then we'll wait a few months and we'll move to the next country where we're going to live. September went and I was not pregnant, and then October came and I was not pregnant, and then November came and I was not pregnant. And so then I started to get, or I shouldn't say then, during that time I started to get a bit stressed out, because at the time I was 30 years old and all of the women I know in my side of the family have had children between maybe 19 and 22. So I felt like, oh, maybe I waited too long, you know. And then I had to start doing research. So I want to give you some information about trying to conceive that I didn't learn until that time. And anytime I'm speaking about something that I don't have personal knowledge or education about, I'm always going to try and cite my sources. So when we share information, whether it's on social media or in personal conversations, or whenever, that we try to think about where we got this information from, because that's quite important. It's not only great for the other person to have their own personal investigation of truth, but also for us to be conscious of what kind of information we're spreading and where we got it from. So I'm spreading information from the National Health Service of the UK because I felt that this was a reliable source. And this is what they say on their website. "Most couples have about 84 out of 100 chance of getting pregnant within the first year if they have regular sex and don't use contraception. So it is true that women become less fertile as they get older, but their statistics say that between 19 to 26 years old, 92% of women conceive after a year, and 98% after 2 years, and women between 35 to 39, 82% conceive after a year and 90% after 2 years. So those are still, if you're up to 39, quite good odds, and the effect of age on men's fertility is less clear. This was just really important because, you know, if you were like me and you were thinking, okay, it's going to happen quickly, and then it doesn't happen, and you're a bit older, you're 30 or older, then you might feel like, okay, maybe I need to contact someone, or what do I need to start doing? And really, it was just reassuring to me to say, hey, this could take a year. At the time, I was like, oh, if I knew that, I would have started trying earlier. But it's just good to be conscious of these things, and you don't have to feel overwhelmed or like something's wrong if it doesn't happen. The other thing that I thought was really interesting is that some people, including myself, at the beginning you'll try to time it because there's a time that you're ovulating, which is the best time to try and have sex and conceive. Well, this website is suggesting that you don't do that, that you just have regular sex every 2 to 3 days if you're not already throughout the month up to a year. And the reason they say that is because the other way can be quite stressful. So if you're trying to time it, you can be putting a lot of pressure on yourself and your partner, and that stress can be not only difficult for you getting pregnant, but for your relationship. So they're saying, you know, just know it's very likely that you're gonna get pregnant and the stars are gonna align and you're gonna conceive. So I'm gonna share a story at the end of this episode about the process that happened for us that I just think is interesting. But for now, I wanted to talk about this thing that we call the 2 week wait. So the 2 week wait is that time between when you're trying to conceive and you're gonna have your period or not have your period. And that can feel like a really long time for a couple, and especially a woman who's trying to conceive. So this is a time where you can start obsessing about the signs. Oh, you know, is this a sign? Is that a sign? And I just found in my experience that the only way that you can really tell is to wait and take the test. So all of that obsessing, though it can be interesting, for the most part, is probably going to be more stressful than anything. And really, you're not going to know until you know, because when I was looking it up, a lot of the symptoms that describe the early stages of pregnancy are very similar to getting your period. So if you're a person who gets nauseous when you get your period, has pain and aches and sensitivities, I think for most of us, it's going to be really hard to tell until you know officially. So I asked one of my friends who's also a Baha'i mom, and her name is Tia, and I know her when I used to live in the Pacific Northwest in the United States. I asked her to give her a tip for how people can deal with the 2 week wait.
Hi there, this is Tia Hansen from Beaverton, Oregon, USA. And in thinking about that time, the 2 week wait, it's such a tender time, right? So exciting and so nerve-wracking. One of the things that I remember doing when I was hoping for our first, which took about 10 months, so I had lots of practice at waiting, was praying for that little soul. It was very easy for me to get caught up in the anxiety of the wait, and focusing my attention as best I could on that little being helped me to step outside of my own expectations of time, and to really just think about the well-being of that little soul that I would hope would join our family. I found that a very proactive and encouraging thing to do, and something which put that being ahead of my own wants and desires. So I will keep all of you wishing and hoping during this already uncertain time in my own thoughts and prayers, and Alaopa.
Thanks so much, Tia, for that tip. It can really be a time of anxiety. Yeah, and I think that, of course, prayer is always a great resource for us. Now, the other thing that I was thinking that can be done practically is to just keep busy. Everyone has different hobbies and interests, and I would suggest maybe picking 10 things and putting them, writing them down and putting them in a jar or putting them on your computer or wherever is convenient on your phone, and trying to focus on doing these things instead of obsessing during that time. That could be a podcast that you really want to listen to, whether that's about family life and pregnancy or any other topic, books you've been meaning to read, you know, maybe some of the classics, projects that you'd like to do around the house, a movie that you've been wanting to watch, writing, art, you know, whatever your hobbies are, just to write them down, and then you can refer to that list when you feel anxious and try to think what you can do, exercise, all those kinds of things. And so that will really help you out. So moving into the resource, there's a woman named Susan Gammage, and she has a website called 9 Star Solutions. And I find this website quite helpful in general because she has a lot of blog posts where she's collected writings about various topics. She has such a rich and interesting and just challenging and triumphant history. So you could listen to interviews with her. She had an interview with Rainn Wilson on Baha'i Blogcast, and you can hear some of her backstory. But yeah, her website has a lot of resources and quotes on different topics that affect our spiritual health. And she has one particular article called My Will Versus God's Will in Getting Pregnant. And in this article, she talks about the steps that Shoghi Effendi gives for making decisions through prayer. And there's 5 steps, and I'll just go over them quickly. Pray and meditate, arrive at a decision, have determination to carry through, have faith and confidence that the right way will appear, and act as if your prayer has been answered. Now, she goes into more detail about these steps in the article and also other quotes and other topics around pregnancy and fertility. But I think this is just a really nice article that you can read that can give you some more information and some of her personal insights. I'm going to take this time to share our story of trying to conceive. I mentioned earlier that, you know, a few months went by and I thought it was going to happen quickly, and I realized that it wasn't as quickly as I expected. And during this time in December, my husband's grandmother passed away on his birthday. So it was like a really surreal experience for us because we were out celebrating his birthday. I had organized this trampoline park party for him, and he got the call, but we didn't hear it at the time, or we didn't have our phones because we were at the trampoline park. So he gets home and he sees he has these missed calls, and eventually, because he hadn't answered, one of his family members messages him, and of course he calls back, and we find out that his grandmother passed away. So a bit about his grandmother: she spoke only Polish and she was a devout Catholic. And despite those differences in our religion and our language, she just always made me feel so loved and so welcome when we visit her. So I really felt connected to her. And thankfully, we were living in a country close enough that we could go just for the weekend without taking off any time and attend the funeral. But this was something that was just, yes, like I can only say surreal. And at that time, I was remembering a house member had given a speech about how perhaps we don't draw enough on the power of our loved ones in the next world. And that, you know, we can still talk to them and connect with them and ask them to help guide us and to help us along. So I decided I was going to take this opportunity to start not just praying for her passing, but also trying to talk to her and connect with her and say, hey, you have a connection in that other realm. Can you help send us a child? And of course, I don't know how it works in that world. And sometimes I don't know how it works in this world either. But it just really made me feel better to have a time where I could pray and I could connect and try to have a conversation. And something that I'm very glad that I heard that talk and was able to manifest it in my life in that way. So that was one thing that changed in December, is that I started doing that. And the other thing is, I had bought this thing called a menstrual cup. Now, okay, this is going to get into too much information, but this is a podcast about mothering. So if you're listening, then you should know that it might be some uncomfortable information for some people, and that's just a part of mothering, you know, and family life, that maybe we should be a bit more comfortable with these conversations. But anyway, so I had recently started replacing tampons and pads with using a menstrual cup, partially because it's better for the environment and partially because I felt that the other things were uncomfortable. But then I was thinking, okay, I bought this thing and we're trying to get pregnant. So what if I buy it like right before we're trying to get pregnant? Then I'm not going to end up using it for like a couple years. But it turned out that one day I was watching a YouTube video when I was looking up information on trying to conceive, and it said that you could use this menstrual cup to try and help you conceive. And I was like, oh, menstrual cup, conceiving? What is this all about? And so that video, I'll try to see if I can find it and post it in the show notes because I can't remember the name of it right now. But it was basically saying how you have some time for the sperm to fertilize the egg. So I had in my mind that it was kind of like it happens or it doesn't happen. But you have some hours, you have some additional time where you can still get pregnant. So the idea is that that menstrual cup, you put it in right after you have sex, and it keeps the semen close enough that it gives you the opportunity to still get pregnant. My experience, I was finding that a lot of it was just coming out afterwards. So I thought, okay, this could be helpful for us. So in December, that was the other thing that I did. I was using this menstrual cup and I was communicating with my husband's grandmother who passed away. And then in January, we were pregnant. Now, this is not a recommendation. This is not to say that this is what made us pregnant, because obviously it's much more complex than that. But I just thought it was really an interesting story that I would be able to share with you, because I felt just so happy and connected at that time. And I do believe in the power of prayer. And in the Baha'i faith, there is the harmony of science and religion. So I felt like, hey, I did something on the science side by trying to use this menstrual cup. And I did something on the spiritual side by trying to pray and connect to the other realm. And we just had such a lovely result in finding out that I was pregnant with our first child. So yeah, that's my little story of how I conceived. And I'm going to end this episode with a poem from my book, To Mother, which is now available on Amazon. I remind you again that if you have any tips or resources or quotes that you love that have inspired you in parenting, please email me at info@andreahope.org. If you have any questions that I could cover in future episodes, please send me an email, or also send me a voice recording and just email it along, and I would love to play it in a future show. Moonlit Coast by Andrea Hope. I lay on my side, another silent Saturday night, caressing the curves of my body, this outstretched coastline of foam and glistening tide. How many a dazzling yet empty shell washed up on this shore until you deemed these living waters. To Mother is an individual initiative and provides only the personal reflections and insights of its creator. That's me. For more information about the Baha'i Faith, including access to the official writings and contacts for Baha'is in your community, please visit Baha'i.org.